Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howard Eskin, 610 WIB.
It is not just Howard Eskin, but Howard Eskin is here, along with John Marks.
That old jingle.
I got it just for you.
Where'd you dig that up? Off the internet?
When we were cleaning up the other, the studio, 400 Market, Battle, and Spike found some CDs with old jingles, and they sent it to me because they knew I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I have, there's a Rob Cherry, there's a Steve Fredericks that's in there, there's a ton of good stuff. So there you go.
I bet there is. I mean, I was hoping they saved, and they did, that illuminated, electric illuminated sign that was 610 WIP. That's classic. I have an old, WIP, produce a booklet, I'll call it a newsletter booklet. I think it was once a month because the costs, obviously, at that time weren't very high.
Right.
I found one of the old booklets, and it's really kind of cool because it had some stories in it. It had photos in there, the lineup in there. It's really kind of, we used to.
When was this? Wait, what period are we talking about? Mid-90s, early 90s?
I would say, well, I started in 86, so it had to be late 80s. It might have been late 80s because we weren't full-time until 88, and I started in 86. But so it had to be either late 80s or early 90s, probably late 80s to try to promote the fact that we went all sports.
And look at that. Now we're in 2020, and Howard's on the air at 2 o'clock. With coming back from Florida too, Howard, and that's what there's a lot to talk about today. Obviously, it's President's Day. You'll be here for the first hour, then I'll take it with Jack here for the rest of the show. But you're coming back from Clearwater. I'll be down.
Jack who?
Jack Fritz.
Oh, okay.
Didn't you hear of him? He's a big star now.
Howard Erskine.
Yeah, I was busting Jack's job.
He did 5 hours with Rob Cherry yesterday, so he's back today. He's probably exhausted.
That'd be exciting.
From all the
Rob Cherry.
WIP. Yes. So Jack was talking Phillies baseball yesterday. Let's talk Phillies baseball today. Obviously we want your what you thought. You're down there the whole week. You talked to Joe Girardi on your show on Saturday, but Bryce Harper came in yesterday after you had already left, and he I thought he explained things perfectly. Phillies fans are in an uproar that the Phillies won't go into luxury tax territory right now and make a trade for a guy named Chris Bryant. It'd be great to get Chris Bryant, but he's not free, right? You're going to have to trade something significant to get him.
That's the point.
To even go into luxury tax territory. So Andy McPhail, I actually thought, explained it well on Friday that at the trade deadline, if they're playing well and they feel like they're legitimate contenders, they're willing to go into luxury tax. But they're not going to do it right now, and I'm totally fine with that.
Well, I think more than the luxury tax is, what do you trade? Andy McPhail made a point, and then Klentak does as well, and he's not a free agent. But they've lost draft picks, which is no excuse for two stiffs, Mickey Moniak and some other stiff, I forget his name now, was drafted in the first round. They're just flat-out stiffs.
Cornelius Randolph? Haseley looks like a platoon player.
Yeah,
he was a high first-round pick.
It was another one, but Moniak sucks.
Give him some time. He's still young.
Winter Boy hit 190.
I know.
So, but whatever the case may be. So they complain that they traded away to get players. Well, they wouldn't have been as good if they didn't sign the free agents, so that's why they lost them. That's their own fault because they didn't develop a farm system. So what do you trade for Chris Bryant? You're not going to trade Spencer Howard, and you're not going to trade
Alec Boehm is your number one piece. Spencer Howard's number two. Then the name that's being talked about is Scott Kingery, and there's no chance the Phillies are trading Scott Kingery for Chris Bryant.
Not absolutely
zero.
And they should. He's their best second baseman. And he's a good player. He's got to cut down his strikeouts. But the reality is, what do you you don't have enough to trade, because then they're already barren in the farm system. Then you're really – and you – who on the major – the only guy on the major league level might be Scott Kingery, but he's not good enough. Or they don't need Rhys Hoskins because Bohm's probably going to end up down the line as a first baseman.
Right, and there's probably going to be a DH at some point soon
but the Cubs
in the National League.
The Cubs don't need Hoskins because they have Rizzo.
No.
So what do they trade? So now the luxury tax, and John Middleton stated it, I forget when it was, but it was in the offseason.
End of the year. End of the year, he said they're not going to do it to compete for a wild card. They'll do it to be World Series contender.
I understand that. So
me too.
If it's only going to get you into the playoffs, what's the sense if you know you're not going to go far, if it's not enough to get you far in the playoffs? But they'll have a better idea at the
because Phillies fans that haven't seen playoff baseball in a long time are frustrated, and I understand it. Like Howard, you understand that we'd like to see playoffs here, and I still think this team is a second wild card contender just because if you're going to get 80 some wins, you're a contender for the second wild card. But like at this point, Howard, here's what I know.
The division winners. Let's just say it's the Braves or the Nationals. Actually, the Cardinals aren't the number one team in the Central. Who would it be?
Cubs.
The Cubs.
Cubs, Cardinals.
Cubs, Cardinals, or Milwaukee improved themselves.
Milwaukee, correct.
Okay, and on the West, it's Los Angeles. All right, so now those are the three. So for the wild card, it's either Washington or Atlanta. The Mets are in there. And either St. Louis,
teams in the Central.
Yeah, the teams in the Central.
No, the Arizona was improved last year. I mean, when I say they're a contender, that doesn't mean that they're a favorite to do it.
Right.
But so that's what Phillies fans are saying. They're saying, like, listen, you're not good enough right now, so go out and make a trade. Howard, here's what I know, right? You can't build a baseball team that's going to win a World Series with free agents. You're just not going to because they have a limit. They're not the Dodgers. They're not going to spend $340 million. You need younger players from your farm system. And it's not the fans' fault that the Phillies have done a poor job building the team and they don't have a lot in their minor league system to do it. It's not Phillies fans' fault, but it doesn't mean that you're going to trade your top prospect, who is your everyday third baseman, in a year or two.
I use the example of the Yankees. And I asked Joe Girardi when I had him on Saturday, why is the Yankees farm system so good? So he went back to years where they weren't good. But there's many guys on that team, especially last year when they led in the history of baseball. They had more players on the injured list and still won 103 games, which means they had good players coming up from the minors. The Phillies do not have that support system. So you are correct, and I've stated this before, you can't win with just signing free agents. Because as much as they talk about, well, if we don't have injuries, every team has injuries. It's a fact of life, especially when you play a 162-game season. So you need a support system, and the Phillies don't have it. And that's their biggest problem. And it's going to take at least a couple of years. Now, in a couple of years, they're going to make the playoffs bogus because they're going to add teams. That's another joke.
Oh, it's awesome. I love that idea.
No, I don't.
Why not?
Keeps a 500 team, keeps a below 500 team in the playoff race.
Well, in the race, sure, but that's good for baseball, right? Like, here's what I know about baseball, Howard. There's less and less people watching every year. And once baseball playoffs start, you know who cares about that? If it's in your city or you're a big baseball fan. Yeah. At least with this, it keeps more teams interested. The idea of picking who you're going to play, at first it sounds ridiculous. It's actually smart. It's actually a really good idea because now there's strategy. Now you're deciding whether or not you want to play this team or that team. Do you make the right decision? Do you jinx yourself? The other team's going to be mad if you pick them. I mean, I'm all for anything with baseball that's going to make things different.
Okay. Well,
and liven it up.
So you get a bad team into the playoffs, which you know has no shot. You can't use the Washington Nationals as the example of a wild card team winning because if Atlanta wasn't in this division, they would have been the division winner probably in, let's say, three other divisions in baseball, counting the American League. And they can't win that division. But I think it's ridiculous.
But to your point,
it's about money.
To your point, the Phillies aren't ready to be a true contender this year, next year, and you're not spending your way out of that. And unfortunately, I look at the Phillies right now and I see the Sixers of the fourth or the fifth in the East. Right? I mean, they're not bad. They have good pieces. They're close. But I don't know how they get from being an 85-win team to a 95-win team that actually has the upside of winning the World Series when you look around Major League Baseball. They don't have enough talent. They're not good enough. They don't have the pitching.
I'd rather have Arenado as a third baseman, but they certainly don't have enough to get him because he might be, he and Rendon are probably the two best third basemen in baseball. And so if you get him, you do make yourself better defensively. And defense wins games, and that's where they've had problems. 2 years ago, last year, it was better, but not great. When your shortstop commits 20 errors, that's not good. And they just need defense, and Arenado does both. But they're not going
to
get
him. Well, you would need your GM to make savvy moves and moves that improve your team without giving up a ton, right? You would need to sign a starting pitcher that had upside that you're not paying for, like you just did with Wheeler. I think Wheeler will improve things.
Yeah.
Arrieta comes off the books after the season. But they're not built to win right now.
Wait a minute. Arrieta has an out after the season?
It was a three. It was a two with a player option for a third.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Jack? So he's out of here after the season. So he comes off the books. You will have more money to spend. But they're not ready to win anything right now.
Nope.
I would love to see him win 87, 88 games and be the second wild card and get into the playoffs. I mean, that's really what you're playing for right now.
Here's where they made the mistake. And don't take this as a criticism of Bryce Harper. Signing Bryce Harper was a panic move to appease the fans. And if you had that money to go out and get, you could have gotten players that would have meant more for this team. Now, the one thing I want to say about Bryce Harper, I am amazed how good a person and how cooperative with the media and does the for the team. He does anything they want him to do, and he played hard. He played his best outfield ever in his career last year. But in the end, could that $330 million have been better spent to wait? And then
it accelerated the whole process by signing him to where they really weren't ready to try for it because their system wasn't caught up with the players that they were spending. Now you're kind of in between.
And they boxed themselves out of future signings. If you were, and they're not worried about going over the luxury tax. John Middleton's got more money, and he said that, more money than he'll ever need. And he wants to win a championship. And he, the other owners, the other partial owners, listen to John, but they're just not ready. And I don't know who they can go out and get to make them not a contender. But a real contender.
A real contender. Not an 87, 88 win. Maybe 90 if everybody plays their best.
Correct.
No, you're right. Because, I mean, look around Major League Baseball. Look at the top teams. The Phillies aren't anywhere near those teams.
Nope.
888-729-9494. So we'll get more of Howard's thoughts coming up on the Phillies just coming back from Clearwater. Also, I know he enjoyed the NBA All-Star game last night, as
sucked.
I did.
Sucked.
No, it didn't. And the XFL over the weekend was bad and then okay
what
yesterday.
What is the XFL?
Exactly. Marks and Reese, Howard's in for the first hour. We will debate all of that coming up next. 888-729-9494. Back after this.
Why would a team be reluctant to go over that limit?
Speaking for the Phillies and their ownership, we're not reluctant to go over it. And it's not an impenetrable barrier by any stretch. It's my hope and, frankly, just, you know, my expectation that we're going to exceed it this year.
All right, it was Andy McPhail last week. He's hoping, which means that the Phillies at the trade deadline would be a team not only in the mix, but looking like they're real contenders.
I don't believe him. Let me qualify that. I think he said that because of what he said last year, really kind of downplaying.
If they don't, they don't?
Yeah, if we don't, we don't. By saying he hopes they will and expects they will, he's saying he expects them to be contending by the trade deadline. So he's saying it in his own way, which is just really kind of appeasing people. They're not opposed to it if they're in it. So he's basically kind of saying, well, I think the Phillies are going to be in it. And I don't know, they're going to be in it, but we'll see what's available
and see what it takes. The difference between being in it, like last year.
Well, that's the whole point.
Last year they were in it, but no, did anybody really believe that there were a team that was gonna make a move? Now, some people will say that's a reason why that you should have made a move because you needed help on your team. But when we're watching the Phillies this year, if everybody really feels like, hey, we got a good team, we're one starting pitcher away, we're this away, we're that away, I think they consider making a move. I never got the feeling last year that team was really any good.
No, and that's why they didn't really make a significant any significant moves. Remember, you still have to give up quality. You might give up lesser if the player has less time on his contract. Chris Bryant has this year and next year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So he'll cost more if the Cubs decide somewhere along the way they're going to trade him. Arenado comes off after this year, but you're just going to get him for half a year? Because then he can still become a free agent, right?
Can opt out, and then he just gets top of the market money anyway.
So he's going to get the money, so you just wait. I'm not so sure that it was as good as it sounded. The way they talk, the thing that really annoys me, when he brings up, well, he brought it up again this year at that news conference, and I'm sitting there, and I didn't even want to bother asking him a question anymore. At that point, when he said, last year, if we got into the playoffs, we would have been the quickest team.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You didn't.
You didn't, and your organization isn't great right now. You don't have a lot of great young talent, even if you're going to try to say you have relievers or something like they tried to tell you last year, from the eighth inning on or whatever the ridiculous statement that they made.
That was a joke.
But, I mean, to the point, you're right. I mean, there's no one that feels like this is this fast turnaround. Yeah, they went from being terrible, which was by design, to being maybe a little bit better than mediocre. That's not something to be proud of.
The other point that I'm not comfortable – I just don't think they're good enough without a left-hander in the rotation. The reason you have a left-hander is to change it up so batters just don't face right-handers every day, and you got to change up who the pitchers are. When I asked Matt Klentak, I said, you don't have a left-hander, and it's probably one of the few rotations of baseball without a left-handed starter. Yes. I says, is there anybody that you foresee from the minor leagues that could fill that role? He mentioned a pitcher I never even heard of that was good in single and double A, but bad in triple A.
They really don't have a starter.
Damon Jones.
Yeah, Damon Jones, who's a little bit older, and he fast-tracked it.
He was bad adjusting to the triple A balls.
Yeah. So he's not good enough.
No, he's not. I mean, Howard, a lot of times they'll have a guy that has major league experience that's more or less the sixth starter that's in AAA. He's down there for depth in case an injury happens. They don't even have that. So they don't have their best. I mean, really getting in the weeds here, but they have one guy that went downhill last year in JoJo Romero, who is a guy that they thought was going to be a lefty starter. They don't – like, this team is in the situation right now where they will win in the 80s, but outside of that, I don't know where they're going to go, outside of having some young players that are in the system right now that develops this year. It's not a good situation to be in, Howard.
The other thing that I loved, because Andy McPhailure always talks about numbers, and – he said we're sixth in Major League Baseball in our pitching in velo. I asked him, I said, does that mean you think you're sixth as a starting rotation in baseball? No, but it's a starting point. Well, then don't give me velocity. I don't care what the – there's so many pitchers in today's game that can throw hard. It doesn't matter unless they have good location. Vince Velasquez can throw hard. But too many times, all of a sudden, his location is just all over the place. And hitters in today's game can hit pitchers that throw hard if they don't have good location. He loves these numbers. He gets so locked in on numbers. Now, I don't think Girardi's going to do that. And he's not, based on some of the things we talked about on Saturday morning when I had him on, he's not going to get locked in to numbers. I asked him politely not to bring up xFIP this year, please. Please don't.
You don't like that metric?
No.
That Jack Fritz uses that, so he'll use this for you.
Expected fielders independent pitching? Come on.
Right. Howard? Yes. Yeah. That's
you
one of his
go-tos. You can give up five runs in an inning. As long as you don't walk anybody or give up a home run, your xFIP gets better. It's
correct.
The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
So our Twitter question coming off of all of this, brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking to get engaged in 2020, shop Mark's Jewelers. Great collection of diamond engagement rings at their flagship store. Online, marks-jewelers.com. Should the Phillies do what it takes to get Chris Bryant? And, of course, most people are saying yes, 57%.
Yeah, sure.
But the answer is, it's just like Jack. You know what Jack's doing, Howard? You pay attention. He's on the Bryant Lent. because last year he did the Harper Lent, and they got Bryce Harper. He takes credit for that. So the
you're welcome, Philadelphia.
The Bryant Lent is thought to it's the same thing where
well,
he,
maybe they're not welcome.
You didn't like Bryce Harper?
I like him, but I think that money, if you had been patient and waited, I do like Bryce Harper. He's been a tremendous guy. But he's a 250 to 260 hitter. They'll hit maybe 35 home runs. That basically is what he is for most of his career. And that's okay. And they don't care about strikeouts, which I
do. But it didn't turn the Phillies into an instant contender because they signed Bryce Harper.
And Washington won without him.
So the thought was they won the World Series without him. But the thought
I
is
like Bryce Harper, though.
That,
I do
that
like
Chris Bryant would be kind of the piece that they're missing that would turn them into a maybe contender into a regular contender. And it's not – first of all, they're not going to do it. So you can have Bryant Lent or whatever you want to, Jack. The owner was pretty it's honest about it before, where he said they're not going to do it just to make them into a playoff contender. A and B, if they wanted a third baseman, they could have went on the free agent market and spent money without giving up prospects.
Yeah, and Jack, what are your Lent is you're eliminating what?
Well, I committed to lose 21 pounds for the $21 million
okay, well,
of cost and luxury
thing.
Tax.
That's,
yeah, I'm already down 7.
Okay, that's good.
Looking leaner in here.
Okay, you should have done that anyway.
Well, it was about time.
Yeah,
we're parlaying.
Well,
this
all should do it. We all should.
We
do
all
it.
Should. You're right.
Yeah, we all should stay healthy. So I'd like to lose 5 pounds, but I'm not going to do it to get a player. So there's people all the time. You know, health is the most important thing we have. But if you're going to lose 21, suppose you lose 21 and Chris Bryant's not here, then what happens?
He puts it back on.
Well, no, then I hold John Middleton accountable. So I held up my end. I need to hold up your end.
888-729-9494. Mark's and Reese. Howard's here for the first hour. Should the Phillies do what it takes to get Chris Bryant? It almost seems like that. At this point, it's already a done deal. Right, like
yeah,
this is already a moot question.
Yeah, but John, that's open ended. What should, who's to determine what they should do to get Chris Bryant?
Whatever it takes, Howard.
I know it's
whatever it takes.
It's the question of the day.
But that's also what Jack has led a lot of these poor Phillies fans to believe is that it doesn't matter. They should give up Scott Kingery. They should give up Spencer Howard. They should give up their top prospects.
No, I said was Bowman Kingery. That was the start of my package.
Yeah. Wait a minute, you're going to give up? Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm right.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. You hope that Chris Bryant turns into Alec Bowman. Scott Kingery batted .230 in the second half last year.
I know, because he had a hitting
second
coach.
Year.
He's got to get rid of that launch angle swing. That sucks. He's got to change that. You are crazy. You can get a lot more than Chris Bryant for Kingery and Bowman.
Oh, I don't think that gets you Chris Bryant.
Oh, yeah, right. Are you kidding me? Right now, they could get somebody that would start for them, major league ready, and they would get the Phillies' top prospect for a guy that's only under contract for this year and next year.
Okay,
come on, man!
Just telling you, I don't think it's going to cost that. I think that's about what it would cost.
Who's playing second base?
Gene Segura.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, for this season, it wouldn't necessarily affect you.
Gene Segura, John, I mentioned you before. John, I mentioned it to Jack. I had a caller on Saturday morning. He's a baseball coach in Fort Myers. He coached a player that's now with the Seattle Mariners. And the guy told him, and he volunteered this information, he said the player told him the two worst players in the Mariners clubhouse were Segura and Cano. That's just what I need. When Segura knows that there's nothing you can do with benching him, and he has to play second base. And by the way, he didn't have enough range at shortstop. And second base is basically the same. Defense is really important. That saves games. There's absolutely no way that I want to get locked in to Segura as my second baseman every day. It's just not good enough. It's just not good enough.
No, it's not.
That's your answer.
But he's going to be your everyday third baseman. So that's the other problem.
Enough. But you get protected by the foul line with your range. So you don't have to go as far to your right because the foul line protects you in terms of range. You're not protected at second base.
Right, Segura.
Jack, that's a bad idea.
Segura is going to be your third baseman. That's at least according to some people down there today. And they're,
Jack's on drugs.
They're wisely going to put Scott Kingery at second base, Howard, because that's his best position, and that's where you should put your best prospect that now's a major league guy.
Yep.
Let him start at second base. Stop moving him around. Don't put him in center field or anything like that. And then actually do a good job of completing your roster, filling in your roster with that. But a lot of people want Chris Bryant, which I guess I understand.
Still need a center fielder too. Haseley's not an everyday
player. Haseley and Roman Quinn.
Oh, good thing. Good thing they've invested what $200 million in this roster, and they have holes in multiple.
They have holes all over. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
They're better off now than they were when these guys took over, which is absolutely meaningless when you spend $500 million.
Right, but they were trying to lose when they took over. Right? See, that's what they're not. They're
I don't
not,
know if they were trying to lose. They were restructuring the team.
Well, they knew at the before they took over, they knew at the end that it was like, all right, well, we're obviously moving on because this isn't working. So, yeah, they were terrible. It was the end of the last regime. They were terrible. So of course they're better right now. They have a $200+ million payroll. Isn't that something they're proud of?
No. And Kapler took him backwards. It's a shame. He's actually a good guy, but he's a terrible manager. Took him backwards. That was a Klentak. Analytics guy. It was terrible. And there was nothing wrong with Pete McCannon, who's there right now. I saw him on Saturday. He's all right. He's getting paid and he's in Arizona looking at players there. But it's just, they made too many mistakes and they didn't improve their minor league system. And that's really the biggest problem. But you just can't start giving away good pieces. And I don't know if Alec Bohm's going to be a star.
By the way, I don't think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's going to be a good player. I don't think he's a star.
I watched him in warmups at third base. Not impressive.
He's a first baseman / DH when it's all said and done. Third basemen aren't that big. He's big.
That means Rhys Hoskins has to have a good year or he's going to be traded.
Well, it could be, and they could also have the DH in the NL in 2021.
Another bad rule.
Well, I mean, they're gonna have the DH. I'm with you. I'm with you. Jack, you like the DH?
No, I hate the DH.
I love the strategy of not having the DH, but we all have to recognize that that's going to change. And
it's actually a good thing for the Phillies if they extend Real Muto, they can play him at first base, and then have Hoskins be the DH, and then
vice versa.
Right,
Real Muto can play DH. I agree.
Is there some kind of drug gas in that producer studio for Jack? He wants to move the best catcher in baseball.
No. I'm talking about he's not going to catch into his mid-30s.
Well, it's also he catches 120 games and you let him start 25 at first base.
I'm not talking next year. I'm talking like they're going to sign him to the 5-year extension, right? Probably.
I would say he probably won't take any less than a 5-year extension.
Right. So when he's 32, 33, you don't want him catching every day to preserve him, so you can move him to DH or first base in the NL. That's all I'm saying.
He's still got to catch, for this team to be good, he's still got to catch at least 130 games. So that doesn't put him at first base that much. I want him where he's most effective. I mean, he's not a 35-home-run player. His value is he's a terrific catcher. He's a solid hitter. But he's not you already got him at first base. I'm not worried about the end of his career. You're worried about the next 3 years. Jack, there's something wrong in that studio.
Always, Howard.
I think it makes a lot of sense back in the studio.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so last night, Howard, I know that you tuned in for the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah, I did.
Unfortunately, you tuned out too early.
Now,
what I did was I quickly realized that there was no chance because it was still 8:30. And the game hadn't even started yet.
Yeah,
so I was like, you know what? I fell asleep. I DVR'd it, and I watched the last – I started in the second half, but then I ended up fast-forwarding through most of it. But the fourth quarter was very good. And the fourth quarter didn't have a clock. It was because they were playing first to 157. So once they got through the first three quarters, it was 41 minutes in real time for the fourth quarter.
I wonder how many three-point shots were taken in the fourth quarter. It was probably a ton. Fourth quarter lasted 41 minutes, right?
41 real-time minutes. Yep.
Yeah, right. So,
it did.
So that was too long.
And I thought it was the most entertaining all-star game of any sports that I've seen in a really long time.
It was close.
No, because the guys were playing. I know what you're going to say, that they always play hard in the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter of the all-star game. But there was even more urgency in this game because it was different. It was 2-157. They won on a free throw shot, which was a little bit weird, but it was really entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Well, and it was artificially made that the fourth quarter would be good because they had playing one quarter games, which I think is the most ridiculous. In one quarter, one team got beat by, what, 15 to 20 points. In another quarter, the other team got beat by 15 to 20 points. But it didn't make any difference because it all came down to the fourth quarter and getting to 157. So all they try to do is score. It's artificial. If you had played the game the way it should have been played and not play in quarters, and they'll do that, which...
But they always play in quarters. Well, I don't understand what you're talking about.
But the game starts over. Each quarter starts over. They take the total number of points, but each quarter started over. So they were playing each quarter, trying to get them to play to win each quarter by playing each quarter separately. And then in the fourth quarter, when I watched a quarter and a half, and I saw guys 4 seconds into the shot clock hoisting up threes from everywhere, and then players just dunking and laying it up.
Yeah, but Howard, that's what it is every year. That's what the All-Star Game is every year.
And that's why the All-Star Game sucks.
But that's what people tune in to see. They want to see the dunks. They don't want to see...
For a quarter.
They don't want to see a 96-91 win.
Everybody dunks in the NBA. Everybody. It was Chris Paul's first alley-oop of his professional career, which is amazing, as good a player as he was, because nobody was there. They knew when they threw the pass... Nobody was going to defend it. Nobody. And you want to see a little bit. And there was, what, three block shots in the whole game? If you had that, maybe you had three block shots. And there were three-pointers, probably more three-pointers in that game than any game in the history of NBA basketball. It's a joke. It's a joke. And Joe DeCamera is an idiot, but he made a point today to extend.
It's your former producer.
I know he is. To extend the three-point line, I would do that too. It's become too easy for these guys.
Yeah, but that's not what they want. Why would you extend the three-point line? You want to make it harder to score? That's not what the NBA wants.
I know what they want, but I know what would make it better. So you would have to work for shots. You'd have to make passes. But back to the All-Star game.
Real fast.
I couldn't take it. And I knew that Kawhi Leonard was going to be the MVP because he started lighting it up in the first quarter and a half with three-point shots.
But to your point, and I didn't hear the context of what Joe was saying, but NBA ratings are down this year,
yep,
16% all told on the national networks, which, you know, isn't good. And you have to ask yourself why. And, I mean, I'll just tell you, I don't watch a lot of national NBA stuff. And a lot of it is because it's a three-point game. Everything's a three-point game. It's pass. Three-pointer. I mean, it's not very entertaining to me.
You don't need the 24-second clock because they don't use it anyway. They're not worried about – because somebody is going to hoist up a three-point shot, and it's going to be so early in the shot clock. It's just ridiculous. The NBA is down because – and I'm not the only one that said this. The NBA is a broken product. It's not the great game that it used to be. As Larry Brown would say, you got to play the game the right way. They're not playing it the right way anymore. They're just taking
I want him
threes.
To be Sixers coach, Larry Brown.
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
See that, Jack?
What's going on?
I'm the one
have bad ideas? Bring back Larry Brown?
No, they're just like, and I love, everybody knows I love Brett Brown, but who would get more out of this team right now, Brett Brown or Larry Brown?
Larry Brown.
It's not even close.
Larry Brown, he actually wants to coach, and I would – because he still has the passion.
He's 79.
I know. I've texted him a couple of weeks ago.
Is he interested in the job?
He would take the job in a second.
Yeah, he would take the job. Now, they wouldn't hire him because, you know, he wouldn't be here a long time because they'd worry about his age. And I get it, but he still has the passion to teach, number one. He loves teaching and to coach the game the right way. But his right way is not what the NBA wants now because – and it was Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich, although those players – and obviously they've lost quality players – would, there was some coaches that say you've got to make at least three passes, preferably four, before you take a shot to always find the best shot. That is not the case anymore. It's just not a good game. That's why it's just so boring. It comes down, and a lot of times now it doesn't even come down to the last 2 or 3 minutes, and that was the old adage. We'll just wait for the last 2 minutes, which is really the case because that's when players really start to play hard, and it was evident in the All-Star game. I didn't see it. I didn't care because that game does not interest me the way they play the game. You got to play with some effort on defense. Just some. Just don't like. I saw Embiid just step aside as LeBron James went to the basket.
Yeah, but hang on. Forget about the All-Star game. Forget about defense in the All-Star game with letting LeBron slam, because that's what people, they're tuning in to see. They're not tuning in to see Embiid take an elbow in the face. But Embiid played harder last night in the All-Star game than he does in some regular season 76ers games.
I don't agree with that.
You don't?
Because he was winded in the second quarter when I was watching. Because all they do is run up and down the floor, and he's not in shape to do that.
Well, we know that.
He didn't play hard. He got to the basket, and then
fourth quarter he did. Fourth quarter, those guys are out there playing like it was a regular season game. And that's part of the problem I have with Joel Embiid, is because that matters for Joel Embiid. The Joel Embiid brand was at stake last night in the fourth quarter. Because Embiid will play regular season games where he's just going through the motions because he's in a bad
mood.
Watch
Thursday night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like he picks and chooses. I get it. It's a long season. Right, but that's what's frustrating with Embiid is I'm watching last night and I'm thinking to myself, like, man, he's playing harder than he does in a lot of regular season games.
He played hard in spurts, but I don't think he played hard early because it was too much running up and down the court and guys were just shooting. And if he got to the basket, he would always be open and somebody would pass it to him and he would, in I guess many cases, dunk it. He had a little 3 to 6 foot jump shots. That's good because he's down low. And he knew that defender, whoever that may have been, was not going to defend him that hard anyway. So it just, I want to watch a real basketball game. That was not a real basketball game. That was a schoolyard pickup game. That's exactly what that was, a schoolyard pickup game.
Every year it is.
Yeah.
All right, let's stay with basketball here, Howard, as we go around. Jay Wright to the Knicks.
Nope.
It comes out today. So listen. So for years, it's been known. Scott O'Neill used to work for MSG, used to work for the company that owns the Knicks, James Dolan, and it was always known that they're big Jay Wright fans up in New York. The owner of the Knicks, MSG, the executives up there, know and love Jay Wright, and they tried to get him to go up there. Was it 2 years ago when they had an opening or whatever?
Other teams have tried to.
Sure. Other colleges have, other NBA teams have, and he's always kind of said, no, thank you. But Jay has also said that, you know, not that he's looking to leave and not that even that he would leave, but I think it's flattering knowing that NBA teams, and there's always the thought like, what if? So the latest story that comes out is Leon Rose, who I'm sure you know.
He didn't get the job though, right?
No, he got the World Wide West isn't officially Leon Rose's.
No, I think he turned it down. Didn't he turn it down? I think they couldn't work out a deal. So Leon, and I thought he was going to get it. And
no, he got it.
He did?
It was World Wide West that didn't, the other local connection that didn't. He's not going to be working for the Knicks in official capacity, unless I'm missing something.
No, he's working for CAA, and he's staying with, I talked to Wes. He's staying with CAA.
Right, but Leon Rose, even as of yesterday.
I forget who it was told me, said they saw a story where he couldn't work out the deal.
Well, I mean, as far as I know, he is, Jack, and you're agreeing with it. So
it's not official. I think it's just, like, expected.
Yeah, but it hasn't been done yet. And somebody, I must have talked to somebody that knew the situation. And really, he makes so much money as an agent. Unless he gets paid crazy money by the Knicks,
as of last night, there's a story out that said that a lot of his agent, a lot of his players that he's repping are now looking for a new agent within CAA, including Joel Embiid and Devin Booker. So it looks like that it's just I guess they're working out you might be right. Maybe this is going to fall through, or it has fallen through. But it just seems like Leon Rose, if he does take over the Knicks, that at least, if you're Jay Wright, you wouldn't want to work for the owners of the Knicks right now, because that's just the worst run organization in all sports. If Leon Rose is there, maybe that's like, hey, listen.
Well, I know
he legitimizes
Leon.
Well, I know Leon,
but what makes him the president of a basketball team? He's represented players, so he can do the business part of it. But I don't know that he would handle the basketball part of it. And he's not a president that has a background in evaluating players. He represents players. And I like Leon.
I mean, Howard, I get it, but are you really telling me that's the most important thing in running a franchise? I mean, how many evaluations you actually have?
All right, well, let's go back to Jay Wright.
Yes.
And as of a year ago, I was told Jay Wright, certainly you always listen because it's nice for your ego and you might get a little bit more out of Villanova, and he probably did. because Villanova doesn't want to lose him. And they got, when you're charging six figures for seat licenses for seats, you got enough money to be able to pay Jay.
They have plenty of money. Yeah,
they have plenty of money. So, and they don't want to lose him because he's so well respected on the main line. He's a good recruiter and gets good players, and he's always, always, always going to be competitive at the level of Villanova. With bonuses, he probably gets at least $6 million a year. I don't know that
it wouldn't be about money.
Yeah.
It would be about the challenge of being an NBA coach, and if that's something he wants to take on.
Yeah,
the Knicks are apparently very interested again.
So much pressure in New York. You know, if you're going to – there's so much pressure. There's so much pressure. And where do they go? I mean, they have some good players, but not good enough to – do they have a chance to be a really good team in the next 3 years? I don't think so. So why would you want to go there?
And Jay was at Hofstra, so he coached on Long Island for a long time.
He's a Philadelphia guy.
No, I know he is. But, I mean, I guess more to my point, because I don't think he takes the Knicks job.
Nope.
Maybe this opens up the eyes of the 76ers. That,
I don't think he'd come here either.
But I mean, let's face it. Do you believe Brett Brown's back next year? Outside of, I mean, if the Sixers go to the Eastern Conference Finals, he's most likely back.
Yes,
you would think.
I would say yes.
If they lose in the second round, is he back?
No,
I agree with you. So okay. They're going to be on the hunt for a new head coach, and who better and what better than Jay Wright? I mean, I don't know the other names that would be available, but I can tell you this: that I would rather have Jay, somebody that I know. Jay just gets it. You know what I mean?
Here's another problem, and it happens in football. I think it happens in every sport. When you have not coached at the professional level, the personalities in college, you can bench a guy. It doesn't make any difference because you have somebody else that can fill that role. You can't just bench people without these guys.
Yeah, but he doesn't bench his established guys.
Because they play for him.
Right, exactly.
Okay, does Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons play hard every game?
I'll tell you what, I would like to see what Jay Wright can get out of those two guys as opposed to what's happening right now, and I'll bet you Jay Wright gets more out of these guys than Brett Brown does.
The problem with Joel Embiid, and I think even Ben Simmons, they care more about their, certainly Embiid, about their celebrity status than being a great basketball player. It's all about the celebrity. That's why he did what he did. He wants attention, and people fed into it last week. He wanted attention.
He got it.
But that's not going to happen. It's not going to change. I don't think it's going to change. I don't think he's ever going to grow up.
I don't either.
A great He's got great talent, but I don't think he's ever going to be a great basketball player. And I don't know that Jay Wright can get – what are you going to do to him? In college, you have the ability, hey, listen, if you don't give me everything you have, I'm just going to have to play somebody else. You can't do that.
Right. I think it's more about Ben Simmons.
I would be shocked, not surprised. I'll take it to the next level. Shocked if Jay Wright takes a head coaching job in the NBA. And he hasn't coached at the pro level to understand that. It's like in football. You don't hire a coach, I don't think, that you think can be successful. If he hasn't at some point in his career been coached in the pros, whether it's obviously an assistant, you don't find head coaches, but as an assistant, same thing in college basketball. Billy Donovan, I think, was in the pros before he went to Oklahoma City, right?
Or Orlando, or no, he backed out of that job, right?
Was he an assistant under Pitino?
He probably has some. I mean, Billy Donovan's done well in the pros. He hasn't won a title.
No, he hasn't done well enough. Yeah. But I thought he was an assistant somewhere, maybe under Pitino.
Nope.
He was not?
He was not, no.
Okay. And you don't hear anything about Billy Donovan being a great coach. I think he's a very good coach. But the pros are just different. There's just more money. It's a little bit of an ego. I don't think Jay Wright, everybody has an ego. I don't think Jay Wright has enough of an ego to say, I'm going to risk everything I have. He can retire. He can coach 10 more years if he wants to at Villanova and never, ever be challenged for his job.
Yeah, but here's the thing. No, you're right. You're right. And he'd be leaving something where, like, Jay Wright will coach until he wants to coach.
Yep.
Jay Wright will make plenty of money. Jay Wright is never criticized, right? And why would you criticize him, right? The Villanova people love him. People out, like, I don't like Villanova. I love Jay Wright. I root for Villanova because of Jay Wright. I love Jay Wright.
I think Jay Wright is a great coach, but a great coach in college because you have too many dopes. I think Roy Williams is the most overrated coach in college basketball. And when he won a national championship, he did a great job. But Roy Williams was a dope in that game. Was a dope.
Well, I don't know if he's an X and O guy, right, Roy Williams.
But the thing is, in the pros, you still have guys that will challenge you a little bit more than some of the college coaches.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But if Jay's – I mean, you've spoken to Jay for a long time.
Yes.
I've had Jay on where he says, I'm not interested in leaving, but I'm not going to tell you that, you know, you don't think about it. You don't think about, like, what would it be like being an NBA coach. You get into coaching to coach at the highest level.
He's been offered many jobs.
I know he has.
Well, his house is up for sale.
He's getting a bigger house.
But he's 58 years old. All right, so if he's looking at it the rest of his life, right, and he says, all right, I'm going to coach till I'm 65, maybe he looks at it and says, all right, I'm 58 now. If I'm going to leave, this is the time to do it. If I'm going to leave, this is the time to make the jump that gives me a chance
if he's
interested, right? If he's interested, I would love – I want him to be here. I don't want him to be in New York for the Knicks. That would suck because then you'd have people cheering for the Knicks. Wouldn't you? He'd come down here and be like, oh, Jay, we love you.
I don't know if it's always good to coach in your hometown because then you have all these people now become your friends again. And there's too much.
He's the toast of the town, though. But
he is
you also risk, if you're not good and the team stinks and Embiid and Simmons are fighting. And by the way, did you see Ben Simmons?
He's only got two more years.
Did you see Ben Simmons slap Joel on the butt last night in the All-Star game?
No,
you see that, Jack? See that
they hate each other so much.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they hate each other all that much. Based
well,
on
I don't
some
know
the
that they hate
saying.
Each other. I just don't think they're boys. I think that's over. You know, they made a point. Oh, we get along. Well, they may, but I think there's a jealousy that exists between the two guys. I don't think Joel likes the fact that Brett Brown really caters to Ben Simmons because he knows his family.
I think Joel Embiid is frustrated because Ben Simmons won't take jump shots, and the rest of the team's probably frustrated too. And I think Ben Simmons is frustrated that Joel Embiid is erratic and too emotional and not 100% committed to basketball and all the things that we know about both sides. I think they're both frustrated with each other because the team's underperforming this year. So that's good. But you have to decide whether or not they can play together. And I would assume the 76ers are going to continue that experiment, and neither one of the players is going to be traded.
Yeah, not after this year. And that's the problem, not after this year. But in the case of any coach that comes here, you know at most you have a three-year window, probably a two-year window, because you know Joel Embiid somewhere along the way. Big guys physically don't last
No, and that's why if you were keeping one in the sports radio conversation, I would keep Ben over Joel just because I think Ben ages better. He already plays harder. He has a good NBA game other than the shooting. And even if that doesn't develop, you can build a team around him. The one thing with Joel Embiid.
Well, you took away the shooting. That makes it a good NBA game.
It said everything but that.
Yeah, but then so it's not a good enough NBA game.
Currently, it's not. No,
the way the game's structured, it's all about shots.
Well, it is. Yes, it
is. Especially for the point guard.
No, but if Embiid wasn't there, he would probably play a lot more off the ball down low as a 4 and 5. It's still not ideal for him not to shoot. I get that.
Correct.
But the one thing that Howard I would always worry about if you traded Embiid, if you send him to the right place. To the right spot with a veteran that really was like Jimmy Butler that was willing to take on the media and everything else, and Joel just could be Joel, and he wasn't going to get criticized by the hometown team. And I'm talking about Miami. Spoelstra and Pat Riley have dealt with superstars before, know how to deal with superstars. He wins.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
If you had the choice after last season of Jimmy Butler for this season – or Ben Simmons for this season, who would you take?
They're a better team with Jimmy Butler for this season.
Okay.
And it's not even close.
Okay. So I don't want to hear about Ben Simmons being a great NBA player. Jimmy Butler, number one, Embiid would have been playing the right way. Jimmy Butler has gotten Miami to play hard. Jimmy Butler will – the reason Ben Simmons has as many assists as he has, because he won't shoot, so he passes the ball all the time. I mean, that statistic is so bogus with Ben Simmons, it's a joke. So when you have all that, the fact that you're saying that Jimmy Butler is better for this team, and that's my point, then Ben Simmons just isn't good enough.
No, this year he's not.
He's not good enough.
All right.
Hey, by the way, can I make an emergency call? I'm calling a psychiatrist for Jack Fritz because he's delusional and out of his mind when it comes to baseball. He thinks he's a baseball expert.
He does.
But, Jack, you are so delusional.
Listen, anytime you want to learn something about the sport, just come and let me know, all right?
Okay.
Here's the thing. He does know baseball, but he's also has some really bad takes, and that would include the, oh, you need to get Chris Bryant. What are you going to do? Trade Kingery for Bryant. Nope.
No. Not just Kingery. Kingery and Bohm.
And Bohm, yeah. And other parts.
Just
too.
Throw it all in. Why don't you just trade their
home? Get that signed. I'm doing this all with an extension in mind.
Yeah, and then give them $210 million.
Yes, 7 years, 210.
Yes.
Great idea. Jack, make it like, who was it? Mike Dick had traded his whole draft for
Ricky Williams.
And how did that turn out? So why don't you trade half their farm system for Chris Bryant? And Jack would do it. We need a psychiatrist. He needs help.
If we don't, we don't.
All right, we'll dial right now. Phone a psychiatrist at 888-729-9494. All right, Howard, we'll hear you tomorrow with Giglio at 6 o'clock. Giglio. All right.
Another jingle, yes. Yes, you will. And good luck for the next, 3 hours.
3 hours, yes.
With that delusional guy on the other side.
I can't
of the
wait. Because coming up,
Jack Fritz.
Coming up next, Howard, Bryce Harper, what he said about the Chris Bryant trade, and I'll tell you, he was 100% correct. A guy that actually understands the ins and the outs of baseball and his team. We'll tell you what Harper said, and then we'll react because he was so dead on. Jack called his comments cute. He said, oh, the comments were cute.
Yeah, they're adorable.
Yeah, it's adorable. That's what you
okay,
use.
So here's a question you should discuss. Who do you think knows more about baseball, Jack Fritz or Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper's dad knows more about baseball than him.
Oh, Bryce Harper's dad could beat up everyone,
yes,
too.
Bryce Harper's baby is not a year old yet, and the baby knows more about baseball.
There you have it. Howard Eskin, everybody. Back with you on the other side. 888-729-9494. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.